You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. In a few minutes, is there a better way to do banking? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This is the week the European Central Bank fired off some economic stimulus, slightly lower interest rates there and a promise to buy more government bonds. The U.S. Central Bank, the Fed, meets on interest rates and the economy next week. Meanwhile, U.S. shoppers have been out there spending, according to new data today. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
I mean, it's not just the U.S., but in a sense, the United States is kind of this island of economic growth these days within the global context.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, it's a pretty tiny island because it's really U.S. consumers that are the strength. Even second quarter GDP, the only growth there was consumption and government. But consumption was so strong, the GDP numbers ended up looking pretty good. And here this morning, we get August retail sales. Economists expecting some signs of slowing down. But in fact, sales ended up better than expected again.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial. Always good to talk to you. Thanks.
Good to talk to you too, David.
Now, if you don't like your bank or what they charge, there's always the option of switching to the competition, but it can be complicated. In Europe, new rules go into effect this weekend that make it easier for upstart financial companies to get into the banking and payments game. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is here with a teachable moment on what Europeans are calling, I think, open banking.
Well, basically, it's just a new set of rules that require banks and financial companies to share consumer data with each other. So consumers, of course, will have to consent to this first, but it allows them to much more easily, say, switch banks or make money transfers.
Switch banks, which is sometimes not easy for people, but there have been challenges carrying this out in Europe?
Yeah, exactly. So not only is it technically difficult to connect data systems from bank to bank, but there are worries, of course, over data privacy. So the revised set of rules that are going into effect this weekend are aimed at easing some of those worries by requiring two-factor authentication. But the other snag here is that banks are dragging their feet because, of course, this increases competition for the industry. So they're going to have to work harder to keep customers on board.
So potentially more competition. But what about in the United States? Can we expect this idea of open banking to cross the Atlantic?
Maybe someday. Experts say the American banking system is actually quite behind the curve when it comes to open banking. While there are a lot of financial technology startups that want to make banking easier, legislation needs to be passed first that will allow companies to transfer consumer data between each other. But if you think of, say, the ATM, when that was first introduced, it was the first time consumers had been able to access banks from the outside. So this idea of open banking is kind of just the next step in opening the industry and making things simpler for customers.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig in London, thank you.
Thank you.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
With California's governor likely to sign that new law controlling rents and giving tenants new rights in that state, let's pause to look at the housing affordability challenge around the country. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been looking into this. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Let's talk about where we are here in 2019. I mean, what do the numbers show about the affordability crisis?
Nearly half of renters pay more than one-third of their income for housing. Now, in other words, they fit the federal definition of being cost burdened for shelter. So that's a pretty steep burden to be paying. And you have these low falling vacancy rates in economically dynamic cities throughout the country, just not on the coast. And the supply of low income housing also, rental housing, that's also declining sharply.
You know, when we talked about unaffordable rental housing, we tended years past to focus on people with low incomes. But in many places now, especially cities, a middle class income does not get you a decent place to live.
Affordable housing has become part of a much bigger conversation, a much bigger discussion about economic development and growth. And because of this, because of problems that people are having to pay their rents, we're seeing the reemergence of a conversation, a policy proposal we really never didn't hear about much in the 70s and the 80s, rent control.
But, I mean, thing is, many economists don't like rent control as a solution. They see it as inefficient.
Rent control helps out current renters, but the policy backfires when it comes to this long-term issue about affordability because it essentially starts pricing out future tenants, the younger people who are wanting to move into your urban area.
But economics aside for at least a moment, politics is a part of this. And there's a lot of pressure given income inequality in America, given so many careers require us to move to an expensive city. There'll be pressure to control rents.
Well, I think just rent control is just going to keep coming up again and again because this affordability issue is real. Nationally, the plight of the urban renter has even entered into the contest for the White House. Now, when you look at a number of the proposals from the different candidates, they're addressing housing affordability and they have some proposals to help out renters. And one common thread, if you look at their proposals, is they want to increase the supply of housing and apartments. So, for example, you know, knocking down some of these zoning restrictions that are out there. But what I find most interesting is not so much the actual proposals, but they're talking about it.
All right. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Now, over a century ago, an Italian economist named Vilfredo Pareto came up with notions of efficiency that led modern economists to object to rent control. Earlier thinkers who sought to maximize not efficiency but the happiness of society had their own way of doing the numbers where rent control does make economic sense. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.